Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 20th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, and we're on page 52 today. We're going to unpack the first paragraph. Paragraph 1, it starts with, but in most fields, our generation, and it ends with something new, which does, with a question mark at the end of that one. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Audrey M.P., the 12 Traditions, Anna S. Reading the text today in support, Leslie M., Kara L., Dana P., Leah S. After the recording, we'll get newcomer names and sponsor contact information, and then we'll have announcements at the end of the meeting. And we'll tell you who that will be soon. The share ID numbers for yesterday's Big Book study meeting, the 10 a.m. meeting for Monday, April 19th, 2021 is 16793, 16,793. And then this morning, our 7 a.m. meeting that already happened just a bit ago, that would be for Tuesday, the 20th of April, 16797, 16,797. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. This is Audrey M.P. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Santa Monica, California, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, we humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you, everyone. And I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. Audrey M.P. is from California. I will now ask Anna S. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass.
Thank you, Anna S. And Anna S. is from New York. Thank you very much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topics and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topics. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, so everyone please mind this idea by pressing star 1 only on your phone keypad for muting, and check it from time to time, because if you're sitting in queue, you'll notice that you have been remuted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 52 today, unpacking the very first paragraph, and it begins with, "But in most fields, our generation," and then ends with, "For something new which does," with a question mark at the end of that. And I will ask Leslie M. to begin this study today by reading that paragraph, unpacking it for us with her experience before we open up to the general fellowship here to share on it as well. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, "I bet they'd do it. Maybe not so long either." Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, by the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does? This paragraph has brought up a whole bunch of memories for me from my life. And the one that sticks out the most, where as far as it comes to discarding old gadgets for new gadgets, was I remember, and this will date me, that's for sure, I remember when answering machines come out, and I thought, I will never get one of them. If somebody wants to talk to me, they'll just have to call me when I'm home, you know. And now I have the latest Apple iPhone and, you know, all this stuff, you know, wireless headphones and the whole nine yards, you know. And who would have thought? I mean, it was a long time ago. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that when it talks about the old, throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does. So obviously when something breaks down in my house, an appliance or something, you know, or even my phone or whatever, do I replace it with something new? Absolutely. However, what I realized is that the thing that really needed to be replaced for me was my thinking, you know. And I hung on to that thinking because my past experience had been that, you know, basically, it, you know, if there was a God, he hadn't done anything for me. You know, my experiences growing up in the home where I grew up, certainly, you know, if there was a God, he should have stepped in and done something. But that was not my experience. And I found that I really hung on to that thought that, you know, that I knew what was best. There was something else that I was supposed to be doing to take care of this. And when I finally got to that, when the food finally convinced me that I was in charge of nothing, you know, that the food was going to be in charge of the rest of my life, that was when I finally saw that what I was doing was broken, that my thinking was broken. You know, it wasn't just for me. The first step is not just being powerless over the food. It's also being powerless over my thinking. And so that was what I had to take a look at. And when I was finally at that surrender point, I could say, okay, God, you know, this is it. Because, you know, now I know and I can state, you know, this is a spiritual malady that requires a spiritual solution. And I'm very grateful to have that in my life today and to be a recovered compulsive overeater. But I never take it for granted because, you know, I know that I need to, you know, do my work to keep myself spiritually fit every day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie Ann. Appreciate that. Leslie Ann is from New York. I'd like to open up the lines now for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 52 of your big book. If you're interested, I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state. And although we do value your experience, everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday, tomorrow would be the day that you would consider coming back to share at the 10 o'clock a.m. hour. But for now, I'd love to take some names.
Larry G. from California.
Hi, Larry G. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Hi, Bonnie B. Looks like we're getting warmed up here. Larry, let's go ahead and start with you, and then Bonnie B. will
Ann
follow.
Ann B. from New York.
Oh, gotcha, Ann. Good morning.
Thank
Larry,
you,
go
Mel.
Ahead.
Thank you, mm-hmm. Mel. My name is Larry G, and I'm from Northern California. And I thank the reader for a wonderful share on this paragraph. I haven't shared a while, but I'm inspired on this paragraph because of my arrogance in OA prior to coming to Visions. I would go through this. Personal relationships, okay. Emotional nature, okay. I was in a prey to misery. I was depressed as a result of the flour and sugar. I made a good living. I had a feeling of usefulness, full of fear sometimes unhappy. I was of real help. So I would go through that, check. What I discovered was how wrong I was. When my brain detoxed, I was able to see how wrong I was. And today, one of the things I'm grateful for at Visions is that it has reignited my passion to devote myself to God. And God gets a bad rap, you know, really a bad rap. I mean, God gave us free will, just like Bill gave us the space to determine a power greater than self. God gave us free will. He's not a puppet master or codependent where he's going to walk in and save me in this area and punish me in this area. I'm just an ordinary man with strengths and weaknesses. How in the hell can I, how conceptually can I understand infinity, that there is no end to this universe, and how this universe was created? And so I don't believe in God. I know there's a God. I haven't met God. I can't see God. I can't feel, I can't touch God. But Bill talks about in the 11th step, we're going to get to, I don't want to talk about that too much, but through my sixth sense, I can come to know God. And today, I have stable emotional nature. I am not prone to misery. Depression, sometimes. I feel useful. I am sometimes full of fear, and I have a 10 step to address that. I am happy most days. I feel a real help in this program. Prior to coming here, I never called a newcomer. And I reach out to the newcomer because I want to welcome them. I want them to know that there is a solution here. Anyway, I pass. I thank you for giving service, Mel, and I wish everybody an excellent day.
Thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Bonnie B. from Minnesota, you're up now for 3 minutes.
Thank you so kindly. Can I be heard?
Loud and clear, but we'll let you know. You just come in blazing. But now you can't. What happened?
Okay,
let's
try it again because I don't think it's through. Sorry about that. I'm Bonnie B. in Minnesota, gratefully recovered by the grace of God just for today. Oh, my word. I mean, every paragraph just blows me away. I look at the last couple of sentences in this paragraph, and what was it that took? You know, what was it? I mean, I was in program for 6 years and in bondage to this disease my entire life, but in program for 6 years prior to me coming to that point where I was completely ready to throw away my old theories, my old gadgets, my old ideas, everything that I worked so hard my entire life to manage that didn't work. I had a relationship with a higher power, with God coming into it. My answer to everything was, if I just read more, if I just memorize more, if I just pray more, if I, and none of it worked. And those were my old ideas, and those were my old gadgets. Add to that Fitness Pal and all the different apps that you can do to modify and manage a behavior. And what I neglected to understand is that until I set me on the back burner and let God come to the front, nothing was going to happen. Those ideas that were in my head, they kept me spinning. There was no freedom. I was in lockdown. I was in lockdown for 3 years in this program, in and out of the food, because I was unwilling to lay down artificial sweeteners. 5 incredibly kind sponsors who all said, you know, you might want to listen to the podcast, an entire abstinence. But there was no willingness. That idea in my head that I could keep that and still have the rest. It was the surrender to all of it, and I do it daily by doing the 10 steps. I'm amazed at how fast God allows me to jump out of column 1 and 2 in those resentment forms and go right to column 4. I would never have done that prior to this program. I could never see my part, and so the transformation that has taken place is only by the grace of God. And I no longer live in a world where I'm trying to modify every single behavior. I wake up, I commit everything to Him. I ask Him to show and to reveal. And I work with all of my heart, trying to adopt what He would have me to adopt for that day without my will trying to run it. This phone call, I'm usually on the earlier morning one, but I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to be here today. I'm so grateful for the service that everyone provides and so very grateful for this big book. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Anne B. from New York, you're up for 3 minutes. And then I wanted to let everyone know we have room for more to share.
Hi.
In 3 minutes after Anne B.'s share. Hi, Anne, it's your turn.
Hi, this is Anne B. from New York. I don't like that word recovered, but I'm a compulsive overeater who's been abstinent for 16 years. And this paragraph is talking about replacing one gadget for another. This is reminding me of when I first started program, and I was mad at God because I had prayed desperately for God to save my marriage, and my marriage was not saved. My ex could not be dissuaded from leaving me. And so in starting program, I decided that in order to be comfortable, I would change the name by which I addressed the divine. And I chose a name from a different religion. And that, you know, went against a lot of my habits in thinking. But you know, it's interesting the steps say God as we understood God, that concept. And there's also the saying that if you want what we have, you'll do what we do. If you do what you did, you'll get what you got. And so changing thinking is important. And I have always believed that the true name of the divine is unpronounceable, and therefore that the divine won't care which wrong word I use to address it. So I feel that being creative for me in defining how I was going to relate to this higher power was very important to changing the thought process that I had been using all my life. Because while I was giving lip service to the beliefs that I was raised with, I was in fact making my higher power into my family, my work, and not true divine spirit. And so So the gadget I threw out was just the routine that I had used in relating to higher power. So I'll pass.
Thank you, Anne B. from New York. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page 52 of the big book in the chapter We Agnostics. If you're interested in commenting on that, we'd love to hear. You press star 1 on your phone keypad. Give me your first name, the first email, show the last name, and your state. That would be great.
Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado.
Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Jill C., California.
Jill C., good morning.
Laura W., New Jersey.
Hey, Laura W. New Jersey.
Chris O. from Iowa.
Hi, Chris O. Let's start with that line up there. Get us going here. Get us warmed up a little bit. Wendy M. from Colorado, Jill C., Laura W., and Chris O. We'll start out with you, Wendy. It's your 3 minutes now, madam.
Can you hear me? I didn't mute.
Yeah, sure.
Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Thank you, God, and thank you, Melanie, to be on the line, everybody. So I cannot not talk about complete liberation of our thinking. You know, it's not like partial liberation or sometimes liberation. It's complete, right? And this disease is the disease of thinking, right? It starts in my mind. I used to think that the problem was my thighs, but it turns out it's actually my thinking. It's in my mind. And to have a complete liberation of our thinking, this is a promise, right? And this is freedom. This is the freedom. This is why I do what I do. Thank you, God. I don't do it, actually. I just go to God, and God does it for me. But this is the freedom. Like, how free do we want to be, right? How completely free do we want to be? I want to be pretty free because it feels unbelievable. Like, and more and more, I just, you know, I go to God. When I'm itchy and scratchy, right, that means I'm running the show. That means that my thinking is I have a better idea than God. And I don't even know that I'm having that thought because the disease is in my mind and it sounds right, right? It's my voice. But more and more, I heard recently a beautiful thing. They said, you know, it starts out as the broad highway, but then it narrows and narrows because our intuitive thought, that intuition, that inner knowing, that inner resource, it becomes so strong. The more I practice these two-way prayers with God, oh, Lord, and these 10 steps, and the more I just go to God, that broad highway gets very narrow for me because it's so quick. I hear God faster and faster and faster. And the quicker, you know, if I'm in quicksand, and I know it, thank you, God, that's the thing. Do you even know the truth from the false? So I know today, thank you, God, I know the truth from the false pretty much, you know, a lot of the time. And when I don't, you know, I'll know it later. That's when I get that freedom. That's when I get that intuitive knowing. Oh, my God, Wendy, you're off track. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. Let's get back to God. God, what's going on? You know, God, talk to me. God's like, just hold my hand. I'm going to surprise you today. Like, surprise me, God. Show me. Show me, God. Show me. And that is that complete liberation of my thinking. I'm liberated from the bondage of me, of Wendy's thinking. I'm you know, it's just unbelievable how it's not about us. It's just about God. And it's just about, once I have that access to God, freedom. Freedom from myself. Freedom from the next paragraph, the bedevilment. Freedom from the bondage of Wendy's thinking. Because my thinking has got, you know, it got me here, right? I came in on a losing streak. And thank God, food is a great persuader. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
That's time. Oh, you got it. Thanks so much. Okay, up next is, let's see, Jill C. from California. That was Wendy M. from Colorado, by the way.
Hi, this is Jill C. from California. And I love how everyone is sharing on this, and it's so different for each of us. For me, what stands out here is that the last line, we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new which does. And the word new is kind of my word recently. This whole program, I've been here 5 months, and it's a new way of thinking, a new way of eating, a new way of, you know, everything, really. And what I realized with this paragraph is that there are ways that I've been thinking about life and things that I don't even realize. And then something changes, or, you know, I have to move things around, or I have to think about something differently. And all of a sudden, God comes in and says to me, well, what about if you do this? What about if you think of it this way? And the things that change for me are not what I realize all of a sudden, oh, yeah, this is an old phone, I'm going to throw it out. It's a way of thinking that I think works. And then my higher power tells me, hey, look at this again, because you know what? This really isn't working. And so that's been such a, it's been a good experience. I won't say it's always fun, but really I get a lot of relief by realizing, hey, there's a new way to do it and it's going to be easier and just listen to me. And so I am just grateful for the program and thank you. Happy to be here and I pass.
Thank you very much. Jill C. Next up, and she's from California. Next up is Laura W. from New Jersey, and then Chris O. from Iowa will follow. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I listened to both meetings this morning, and it got me thinking about the whole discarding our old ideas for new ones, because this program for me is not really about food at all. The problem with my life was due to the lack of power that I had in my life that wasn't me. I was looking for it in myself. I was looking for it in doing until I got what I wanted. And the old ideas, those old ideas, you know, there's a real certain sense of security in the familiar, even if the familiar is bad. And, you know, for almost 17 years now, I have been waking up each day, writing a Dear God letter, staying abstinent, and working these steps over and over and over. And I will say that my old ideas, believe it or not, are still there at times. So it tells me that there is no finish line for me with these 12 steps. That's how I used to run my life. There, you know, you have a goal, you set the pace, and you get to the finish line. And then what happens? You know, well, for me, I usually crashed and burned. But nice to know that there's no finish line here and that I'm not going to be successful every day. I'm not going to even have, you know, I will have days where I feel fear and resentment. However, the beauty of this program is that I turn to my higher power, who's God. I turn to God on those hard days. My kids just asked me the other day, Mom, how do you know there's a God? I'm like, well, I believe there is. It's called faith. And you know, for me, God's not like Santa Claus. God is like, you know, it doesn't mean bad things are going to happen. It means that that is where I go. That's my soft place to fall when these things do happen. And it's my place to go when I'm grateful for the good things that do happen. And to be completely ready where I throw away the old ideas, you know, how do I know if I'm completely ready? Well, I just have to do the work and God provides the results. So thank you for letting me share. I hope everybody has a great abstinent day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Laura W. Chris O. from Iowa, you're going to be up next for 3 minutes, and then we're going to open up the lines again for about 3 or 4 more shares if anyone's up to us. So your turn now, Chris. Hey.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Chris O., compulsive overeater. I love, you know, how in this paragraph, how it talks about, you know, show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement about the rocket going to the moon. He says, I bet they do it, and maybe not so long either. It shows me, you know, how open we are to technology and new ideas. But I mean, for me, I'm not open to what God can do in my life. And I'm afraid, and I don't think that he can do all the great things. I'm coming back from a 6.5 year relapse, and I've got about 6 months of abstinence recovery under my belt. And you know, I just think about how God can do all these great things around me, but I won't let him in to do the job that needs to be done on me and in my heart and soul. And even though he every day, my higher power is saving me from this terrible, terrible disease. And it just makes me think, wow, I need to be a lot more open-minded to the things that God can do for me. And then that's all I have today. With that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Chris O. from Iowa. So now we're going to open it up for a few more people to share on paragraph 1, page 52 of the big book. Who's up for that?
Aura R.
Hi, Aura R.
Wendy S.
Wendy S.
Vicki A., Wisconsin.
Vicki A.
Lynn H.,
Wisconsin.
Lynn
H., is that what we heard? Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm not sure that we're going to get to everybody today, so just hold on to that thought right there. And we're going to start with Aura R. from California for 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm Aura, a compulsive overeater from California. And I got, kind of thrown a curveball this week. And I had unexpected family show up. And what helped me, you know, just talking about the complete liberation of our thinking. My son showed up, and he's quite the chef. And I was thinking, okay, what can I do to complement my meal so that, or, you know, to kind of fit in with the family? And it was just really simple, and I was able to do it, and I didn't stand out, and it felt really good. I just asked him to cook some extra veggies on the side, and I chose to stay on the program. And it was not any struggle, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. It was just really easy. And that was, you know, God's will. I just stopped and asked when he was, you know, when he was coming, I just asked God to get me through this. Because in the past, I would have like, oh, I don't want to upset him, or he's really a good cook. I'm just going to do it, you know. at and just kind of sabotage myself in that way. But this complete readiness to which we throw away the theory, and that, you know, that's that obsessive thinking, that theory that I can just get by or slide by. Because I know today that if I were to take that first bite, that's going to trigger that obsessive compulsion to do more, you know, because one bite is definitely not enough for me. And so, I like that somebody mentioned tossing the artificial sweeteners. I tossed them quite a while ago because I knew it set me up for failure. Because it was, you know, we talk about we cannot have alcohol in any form. Well, for me, that's I cannot have any alcoholic food in any form, and that includes sugar, whether it's disguised or fifth on a list or in any way. So thank you. Thanks for sharing today, and thanks for everybody who has shared their experience. And I'm Aura R. from California, and I pass.
Thank you, Aura R. Wendy S. from New York, you're up for 3 minutes.
Hi, Wendy S. I have 1 day of abstinence, and I was so amazed at how I felt like the insanity, the majority of the chaos and craziness for me was just taken away. Like I didn't have to have attention on my food anymore. But to have just 24 hours of abstinence, I feel like I have so much free energy. And I love what everybody's talking about. I was trying to find another name for God for the last year. I was using Creator and Source, and I just lost my connection with God. And Wendy, when you were talking about our thinking, plus, you know, my name's Wendy. So when you're saying it, I'm like, yeah, my thinking is upside down. And I've only just realized that in the past couple of weeks. My thinking can get absolutely upside down. And I love that you said that this isn't about our thighs or the food. It's about our thinking. And I'm just so happy that I found this group and all the people that called me yesterday and Melanie, and just, I have never felt this grateful in my life. Thank you. My pass.
Thanks. Yeah. Thank you very much, Wendy from New York. Vicki from Wisconsin, you're next. Vicki E.
Hi, good morning. I'm Vicki A. From Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I'm a compulsive overeater. Sorry, nervous. This also, I am a newcomer. I attended yesterday morning's 7 o'clock meeting. But what I found, what jumped out at me in this reading is, but in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. And liberation of our thinking, of my thinking, has got me to where I'm at today, which is at this meeting, thank God, because I have tried every single gadget, diet, exercise program, meal plan, whatever, and it's just caused me nothing, but it wasn't fulfilling in any way, and I found myself still like empty. What's missing, even though I do believe in God of my understanding, and coming here and reading the literature and reaching out to a sponsor and doing some work in the workbook, I have found that I am undisciplined still. And I read that in the literature somewhere, and I'm like, oh my God. In every compulsive action, I'm discovering there's more compulsive behavior, and it's like, oh, turn this over to God. Oh, and it's just, I don't know. I have 1 day of abstinence, but I do have to discuss that with my sponsor to make sure this is what I'm doing. But yeah, this is great, and I just appreciate you guys and all the work and the commitment and the positivity. And that's all I have. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your share this morning. Let's see, who do we have next coming up? Ah, Lynn H. Great. Looks like we do have time for you. Hi, Lynn.
Good morning, everybody. Lynn H., and I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. First time talking, so I'm nervous. But I like the paragraph because I'm old enough to remember watching TV when the Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, and what a feeling of thrill it was. And just 2 days ago, the same feeling kind of came up when I watched the people who worked to put the helicopter on Mars were celebrating. And, you know, nobody does this alone. I have to celebrate each day. I have had many, many, many days of abstinence, but I don't do this without listening to other people, without working the steps. I need to be reminded that I am a compulsive eater. I use a sponsor, the tools. I've started using the resentment worksheet again, and that's showing me, yeah, my thinking is, you know, it's not going to ever be perfect. My thinking, the defects, I like to think of them as on a continuum, and I need God to help me balance them, the self-pity and the pride. I mean, I need to be somewhere in the middle there, and I, you know, it takes action, and I am just grateful for this meeting to see how much there is in this big book, and yeah, keep doing it, keep on, one day at a time, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn H. Well, I'm looking at the clock. It looks like we have time for probably at least one more share, or maybe two-minute shares. Anybody else have a burning desire this morning before we transition?
Gusty N.
Gusty, hi.
Maria F.
And Maria F. Let's do that. Hi, Maria. Okay, Gusty, you're first from Virginia, and then Maria from Ireland.
Thank you. This is Gusty N. I'm actually from West Virginia. And I am grateful to be here this morning. You know, this paragraph is really sitting with me today, just a year into COVID, a little more than a year in, and very much feeling like my life is in a holding pattern. Everybody's life is in a holding pattern to a degree. And the reminder that sometimes it takes the holding pattern before the breakthrough can come. And that's certainly been true in my recovery, that, you know, there's been moments where, you know, I just wasn't getting it, or, you know, I was stuck, or, you know, just was trying to figure out how to make an amend and couldn't really figure out how to make an amend, or, you know, had reached a place of abstinence, but not yet really a place of recovery. All of those moments in this program where, you know, we're better off than we were, but we're not quite where we want to be. And those holding patterns are absolutely useful, as we say that, that in God's economy, everything has a purpose, I guess is close to what I'm trying to say. In any case, just a reminder this morning that, that a holding pattern can be okay as long as we are continuing to do the footwork and continuing to stay connected to the higher power, who does have a breakthrough for us. Maybe not as quickly as we want it, but it is there. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gusty, and from West Virginia. Maria F. from Ireland. You have 3 minutes.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, my fellows. My name is Maria F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Dublin in Ireland. I'm just on my way home from work and just delighted to be on the meeting and just pulled in to share. And the paragraph reminds me, you know, of my thinking, you know, and that line in the big book where it says, you know, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in their mind. You know, my problem is in my mind, in my thinking, and lack of power is my dilemma, you know. And for me, I had to be out of options, you know, absolutely hopeless, and came into the room beaten. And that's the way it had to be, because I wasn't going to look for a power greater than myself if it wasn't like that. I know that I need God, and I need a higher power to do for me what I can't do for myself. You know, I couldn't stop eating of my own accord. I just couldn't stop. I went back time and time and time again to the food, because it worked. You know, there was a time where it absolutely worked until it didn't. And having to put down the food entirely. You know, and for me, it's entirely. Because there was a time of program where I would have thought I was abstinent and I wasn't. You know, I still would eat my alcoholic food and ingredients. And learning on this meeting and learning on the line that, you know, it's entire abstinence, as Dr. Silkworth outlines. And knowing that, you know, it's these 12 steps that I need. That's what I need daily, to be living in these 12 steps, in 10, 11 and 12, and working them in all areas of my life, in work, in family, in relationships. You know, they apply everywhere. And just, you know, that spiritual temperature, taking that constantly throughout the day, you know, how am I with God? You know, am I bringing God into everything in the day? Because otherwise it's the Maria show, you know, and that doesn't work. And just very grateful to be here and to be sharing that this morning. So thank you, I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. On your trip home, Maria F. from Ireland. You know, it looks like there's time for probably one more 1 minute share. Does someone have just one little topper that they want to share with us today?
This is France from Lillian, Alabama.
Hey, France, we'll take it. I'll give you 60 seconds, starting now.
Okay. What I was thinking of as everyone was sharing, I am France and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Lillian, Alabama. I was thinking of the song, you know, Love in All the Wrong Places. And for me, you know, the love was inside of me all this time and I never saw it. God is my best friend, will always be my best friend. And I did a lot of self-loathing around that whole relationship subject. And the more I build a relationship with my God, the better my relationships are with other people, with his children. And I'm ever so grateful for that and ever so grateful to have been brought to the big book and a deepening of the big book through visions and through other sources as well. So I just wanted to say that and wish everyone a wonderful day. God bless you all. And I pass.
Thank you so much. Oh, gosh, you're perfect timing on that. France N. from Alabama was sharing that 60 minutes there. And now it's time to transition to the next part of our meeting, which would be to close this one out beautifully. And I'd like to ask Kara L. to please read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. And then we'll be off to the last 10 minutes of the unrecorded meeting. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.